Recently, the University of Washington cut foreign language requirements in some foreign language courses. Online services theoretically make it a snap to translate foreign languages, so it would seem that we're moving away from the need for bilingualism in the American workplace. If you think that's true, think again. Michael Arard, author of Polyglots No More, says in a global economy, it's more important than ever for companies to hire workers who speak more than one language. Michael Arard, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So with these new computer programs coming online, why does any human need to speak two or three or four or more languages?
Well, you know, there's lots of reasons. There are lots of circumstances where you'd want to be communicating face-to-face with people. You can imagine situations where time is of the essence, where, you know, there's no time to pull out your device and type the message that you want. And, you know, also it's not just speaking the languages, it's being able to read them, being able to filter out information in them. And humans so far can do that sort of thing better than machines can.
I misspoke earlier. Your book is called Babel No More, so I need to make that correction. Sorry about that. So you're saying there are still things that humans can do that computers as of yet cannot?
Yeah. You know, and I wrote a piece for Al Jazeera America about a couple people who I've met after my book came out, actually, who are people who not only, you know, speak one or two languages, but have proficiency in a lot of languages, and I mean on the order of several dozen. And this has enabled them to position themselves in certain companies and certain industries that are really in need of their particular sorts of skills. So learning a certain portion of a language to a very high degree in order to be able to use it, never becoming a native speaker necessarily, and also being able to recognize languages and know something about the culture of the users, particularly online users who use that language, so that you can change websites to make them culturally and linguistically more appropriate.
What are some of those industries?
Well, one industry, it's called localization. So it's not just, you know, we think about the websites that we encounter. You know, if it's a large company, a big brand, those companies have web presences, you know, all over the world. And in those markets, it's not just a matter of taking the content of the website and putting it in the other language. There might be specific sort of cultural norms, for instance, that you want to avoid. So localization is the whole process of making that particular website appropriate for that place. Another industry is global finance. One of the people that I talked about in that piece, it looks at company documents in multiple languages and is extracting information from those reports in order to produce reports in English for a group of investors. So what the machines, you know, the machines might be able to gist the material in those other languages, but they're not going to be able to produce the report. So it's easier to have a human involved.
It's good to know humans are still good for something.
Yeah.
I know that you have a young child. If a parent with a young child is listening, what languages do you advise that they have their kids learn or that they learn?
Yeah, you know, that's such a hard question, right? I mean, if I could go into the future and tell everybody that, you know, that it's going to be, and come back, and tell everybody that it's going to be, you know, Mandarin or Spanish or whatever. You know, it's kind of like, what's the best programming language to learn for the future, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's another area where, you know, the saleable languages, both natural and programming of 10 years ago, are totally different now. And so so depending on the market, depending on the industry, and depending on the other skills you're supposed to have, the most valuable languages, the most useful languages really sort of vary. So I kind of take it as a dad and as a linguist from the perspective of what is going to give you the tools to do all of the learning and all of the language learning that you need to do over a lifespan, you know, and it's, you just have to start somewhere.
Well, we're going to have to end at this someplace. Michael Erard, the author of Babble No More, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's The Record on KUOW.